is FMR.
Hartlike goeiemiddag. Dit is Vrydag 12:28 op 'n heerlike sonskyndag in die moederstad. En u is ingeskakel by Cape Diary Kaapse Dagboek saam met my Jaco Forster en my wonderlike klankingenieur Jordan tot en met 1:00. FMR Fine Music Radio ondersteun die gemeenskap en saai klassieke en jazz musiek uit. Indien jy jou geleentheid in toon wil stel, stuur asseblief 'n volledige media vrystelling na Lenet by diary@fmr.co.za ten minste 2 tot 3 weke voor die geleentheid. Cape Diary Kaapse Dagboek will also be available as a podcast later today, so please do visit our website at fmr.co.za/podcasts to have another listen at any of today's interviews. Now, we feature a wonderful and packed lineup of guests joining us in studio today to tell us about their upcoming events. First to join us is project manager Melissa Nzuzu, telling us more about Playtopia Indie Games and Immersive Arts Festival, taking place on the 5th and the 6th of December at the Homecoming. Vikas Engelbrecht will be sharing more with us about the Argentine Tango Festival sizzling Cape Town this December, taking place on the 5th and the 6th of December at the Pinelands Girl Guides Hall and Sunday the 7th of December at the V&A Waterfront. President and founder of the Wild Buggers Beach Buggy Club, Anton and Mickey Klein, enthralls us with a massive convoy of illuminated old-school VWs, beach buggies and classic cars that are covered in Christmas lights, taking place on Saturday 29 November, where they will be meeting at 7 p.m. and rolling out at 7:30 p.m. from Food Lovers Market in One City. The hilarious comedian Nick Rabinowitz joins us to give us a sneak peek into his show with Geriatric Millennial, taking place from the 2nd to the 20th of December at 7 p.m. at the Baxter Concert Hall. And last but certainly not least, to finish off our wonderful program, Managing Director David Franciscus tells us about the 2025 South African Independent Film Festival, which is a cornerstone of African cinema, highlighting horror, sci-fi, fantasy, thrillers and social genre films, taking place respectively from the 5th to the 7th of December at the Labia in Cape Town and the 6th to the 7th of December at the Bioscope in Johannesburg.
This is FMR.
Get ready, Cape Town. Playtopia is back. On 5 and 6 December, the Homecoming Centre transforms into Africa's ultimate playground for the indie games and immersive art. This is the continent's biggest celebration of creativity, imagination and interactive magic, complete with fantasy worlds, cutting-edge games and mind-bending installations, as well as a powerhouse lineup of global speakers. And joining me in studio now to tell us more about this amazing event is project manager Melissa Nzuzu. A very warm welcome, Melissa.
Thank you for having me.
Melissa, let's start. Playtopia has become Africa's flagship indie gaming and immersive arts gathering. What makes this year's edition feel even bigger and bolder than ever before?
So this is our 5th edition of the festival, and what really makes it stand out this year is just the selection of speakers, artists, and games that we have on show. This year we have speakers from the Netherlands, UK, USA, from studios such as Surgeon Studios, Devolver Digital, Riot Games, Team 17, just a really amazing lineup of speakers, over 100 indie games from all over the world. We also partner with some international festivals such as Amaze Berlin, Barcelona Games Fest from Spain, and Free Play Australia, who show a selection of the best games from their festivals. So local festival attendees get to see what's going on worldwide
exactly.
In the games
industry.
It's
quite impressive. Now, the festival attracts over thousands of enthusiasts each year. What do you think draws such a passionate and diverse crowd back to Playtopia?
I don't think there's anything like it in Cape Town. If you love games, if you love art, honestly, even if you know nothing about any of this, Playtopia is designed in a way that you can walk off the streets. You just see the excitement and you're like, oh, what is this? I want to go in here. And you're going to end up spending the entire day there, making new friends, making new memories, playing games you've never heard of before. It's supposed to be inviting and welcoming to all. And I think people enjoy having a place they can just keep coming back to and they look forward to it every year. It's a sort of reunion for everyone.
Now, I've done my homework, and I know that this year you're unveiling the fantasy-inspired Arcadia space. Can you maybe paint a picture for us of what festival goers will experience when they step into this magical world?
It's hard to describe in words. You need to get your ticket and come see it in person.
You don't want to give too much away.
It's been put together by Paisley Royale, who put together festivals such as Bazique. They do Glastonbury Festival. They are known for putting together amazing festivals. Anytime you go to a cool festival in Cape Town and there's huge sculptures and amazing lights, it's probably Paisley Royale.
Okay.
So they are in charge of transforming our space into Arcadia this year. And it's just a mythical, magical, beautiful space that I can't explain it. You just have to come see it for yourself. But there'll be over 100 games on show, mostly from African studios, a few internationals just for vibes. But it's just, yeah, it's a magical arcade space where you can just spend the day playing games. We will have mostly local studios, some international, and then we also have a selection from a local collective called Super Friendship Arcade, which is a selection of alternative controller games, which are always such a highlight. You're not sitting in front of a computer playing on a keyboard. You're playing in new and exciting ways. Even if you're not a gamer, you can play the Super Friendship Arcade
games. You
need
to explain that to me. I'm old. Okay, now you briefly mentioned this, but I want to know, we're hearing a lot of excitement around Team Laserbeam's premiere of Shroom and Loom. What can you tell us about the collaboration with Devolver Digital and the massive Shroom Tunnel installation?
So Team Laserbeam is a local studio known for Wrestling with Emotions, Teenage Blob, and some other titles. Shroom and Gloom is their upcoming first-person roguelike double deck builder that is being published by Devolver Digital, who is a very much world-renowned publisher. And so I can't tell you when the game is coming, but you should go wishlist it on Steam. It's available on Steam, Shroom and Gloom. And the environment of Shroom and Gloom is very much like a underground, like tunnels and mushrooms and moss and, you know, those kind of vibes. And so together with Devolver Digital, we've collaborated with Team Laserbeam to create this immersive like tunnel experience as the entryway into the festival. So when you arrive at the festival, you're like immersed into the game. It basically feels like you're within the game. And you're under this tunnel and you feel like you're playing the game live, basically. You walk through this interactive tunnel and that's what opens up into the arcade space.
This is so cool. Now, you've also mentioned this phenomenal lineup of international speakers from the UK, Australia, the Netherlands, the US, and even beyond. What perspectives will they be bringing to the Playtopia community?
So we try to keep our lineup quite diverse. As you mentioned, there's speakers from all over the world, but it's not also just games people. We make sure there's artists, there's programmers, there's writers, there's directors, there's people who actually have nothing to do with any of those industries. We try and make sure that whatever you're looking for, you're going to find it at Playtopia. So we have 2 days worth of talks. The summit is Friday and Saturday from the morning until about 5 p.m., and yeah, it's all on a variety of topics. Whatever you're interested in, you're gonna find it there. But even things you wouldn't think you're interested in, you're gonna end up just sitting in the theater enjoying all the talks because we have some really, really talented and knowledgeable speakers.
Now, we also have to talk about the Playtopia Foundation that plays a major role in developing new talent. Can you maybe share more about the mentorships, the grants, and the outreach programs that are transforming access into this industry?
Yes. So the Playtopia Foundation was founded last year, 2024. It's a non-profit company, and the whole intention is to generate opportunities in the game development industry in South Africa and also to enable access to the industry for all South Africans. So Playtopia Festival is just one of the projects that the foundation is actually a part of. We have Makers Massive, the Playtopia Festival, Super Friendship Arcade, and the Jam Doll. So the Jam Doll is a funding per prototype funding program for local developers. You have an idea, you need some money to make that idea. We will pay you 10,000 Rand for you to work on your prototype for 2 weeks, and then you put it out there and you pitch another one. And you just keep making a new idea every 2 weeks, 10K per person.
And maybe just very, very quickly, for someone attending for the first time, what can they expect to take away from the festival?
your mind will be blown. That's all I can say. The talks are amazing. The games are jaw-dropping. The art installations on the art floor, it's not just a white-walled gallery. It's all interactive, immersive art that you're supposed to play with and touch. And everyone is really friendly. We've got a pre-party. We've got an after-party on the Saturday night. We've got a rooftop bar all day on both days. You can bring your kids. It's fun for the whole family. Come with comfortable shoes and be ready to spend the entire day at the festival.
Just enjoy the vibe.
Have a good time.
And just quickly, where can listeners get tickets?
You can get tickets on AirDosh from as little as $350 for a day pass to $1,300 for an international delegate pass that is for the whole weekend and all the satellite events.
Melissa, we are all looking forward to this wonderful event. Thank you so much for joining me and telling us more about it. We wish you only the best.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
FMR 101.3 FM.
Cape Town heats up this December as the Argentine Tango Festival sets the city alight from 4 to 8 December. Tango Africano brings sizzling dance, live music, top teachers and vibrant social events with several sessions free at the V&A waterfront. Now, whether you're a pro or a first timer, this festival invites everyone to feel the passion, the rhythm and the romance of tango. If you can walk, you can tango. And joining me now to tell us more about this is Vikas Engelbrecht. Good morning, Vikas.
Good morning.
Vikas, Cape Town is set to sizzle this December.
Yes.
What makes this year's Argentine Tango Festival such a standout celebration of music, movement and culture?
Well, we're really trying to go big this year once again. It brings the community together. We're trying to get dancers from all over the country and from abroad. And we've got live music and several DJs. We've got international teachers joining us, as well as some of the people from other communities of South Africa. So it's a nice big community event to just whip up some energy for the dance.
Now, the festival attracts dancers from all over South Africa as well as abroad. Mm. What is it about Cape Town and specifically December that makes such a magnet for tango travelers?
Well, I think we largely piggyback off the high tourism in Cape Town for December over the summer season. People come here in any case to enjoy our beautiful city, or they use it as a gateway to go on their safari trip or whatever they want to from abroad. And then they just find us here. Normally, in a busy December, we just have all these foreigners, usually a lot of Europeans, just showing up at our milongas, our tango social dancers. In any case, they just pack their dance shoes and they come and find us. But this year, we have a specific reason to give them that extra incentive to join us here in the Mother City.
Okay. Now, from 2017 to now, tango festivals have grown enormously. Mm. How has the Cape Town tango community evolved? And what does that mean for newcomers joining for the first time?
Mm. Well, look, I think it's a great exposure for tango to our local community to begin with, to draw people into the dance. But it's also, it puts Cape Town on the map as a tango destination globally. And we see more international dancers coming in. We've had some more international teachers as well. It broadens people's horizons. They see different ways of doing it, different voices, different interpretations, different backgrounds. So it gives people that variety.
Now, because you've also crafted a program with 8 social dance gatherings and 10 workshops, what experience do you hope participants will take away from this immersion into tango?
Well, as you say, the point of doing a festival is to create and craft this immersive experience. So whereas you might just go on an average weekend evening and dance at a social dance, after a few hours, it's fine and it's over. But in a festival, you have this reiterative experience of just doing one activity after another. So you get this real connection with the partners, the music, the dance going. And afterwards, you feel like you've been totally saturated in the art form.
Mm-hmm.
If you can imagine that.
I can imagine.
The beauty of that.
Yes. Now, the venues are spread across iconic Cape Town spots like the V&A waterfront as well as SALT. Mm-hmm. What atmosphere does the city bring to the overall festival experience?
Well, we have this joyous, friendly Cape Town vibe going in any case. So where it's not a very, some of the sessions are open to the public and that's all just for fun and games and just bring more people into the community. Like you said, like on the 7th of December, we have the event at the Time Out Market upstairs that afternoon, starting at 12 noon to 1 p.m. We have a free lesson for anybody who would like to join. And then from 1 p.m. to 3:30, we have a tango social dance, Milonga, with some live music by Stanislav Angelov and the Cape Town Tango Ensemble. The other free event is on the 4th of December, the Thursday evening, at the SALT Food Market in the Cape Town CBD. But that's just a social dance for anybody to come watch and join if they would like to. The events in between are largely for registrants only at the Pinelands Girl Guides Hall on the 5th and the 6th of December.
Now, you've just mentioned this, but I want to ask you, the lineup of musicians from the Stanislav Angelov and the Cape Town Tango Ensemble to the Leon Albert Tango Trio, it all brings together world-class live tango to local audiences. How does live music elevate the dance experience?
Oh, just adding a little note, the Leon Albert Tango Trio is a new little group that we have for this festival, and it's headlined by Leon Oosthuizen, quite a famous accordionist in our community and in South Africa. Live music, it brings in a special element to it, a special flair. Every band has its own arrangement and its own musicians and their own special way to do it. It's a little bit like jazz in a sense that a band leader or the musicians might watch the dancers and then playfully introduce a new little rhythm, a new little melody, a little playful note here and there just to keep it alive. It's not a recording that everybody has heard thousands of times and they just rehearsively going through. It's something that actually there's a connection between the musicians and the dancers. It's quite special to see, and it's quite special to experience when you're dancing.
Wonderful. Now, while I was doing my research, I also noticed that you're hosting an impressive roster of teachers from South Africa, France, as well as Hong Kong. What unique perspectives or styles do these instructors bring to the festival?
Everywhere, every community in every country where you might dance tango in the world, there's something different on offer. There's a different background. There are different maestros who travel there. There are different events that they have there. They have a different demographic and a different culture, different language, and different way of seeing things. Tango is a very individual thing. You learn the principles of the dance and you make it your own. So you will always get something quite unique and quite special if you study with somebody from another part of the world or another part of the country. They have their own language, their own tango.
But there's also a DJing workshop. How do all of these various additions deepen people's understanding of the dance?
Well, not everybody DJs and not everybody takes that great of an interest, that nitty-gritty of an interest in the music. But DJing for tango socials is quite a specialized thing. And it really revolves a lot around coming to a deeper understanding of the music and the different orchestras and the musicians and the history of the music itself. And playing that out expressively as you DJ for the crowd in connection, once again, with how the people are responding. There's a lot of connectivity in tango. Whether you're dancing with somebody, whether you're playing the music, whether you're DJing, it's always seeking that connectivity to the room and to the other.
Absolutely. But the festival is also endorsed by the Embassy of Argentina.
Yes.
What does this recognition mean for tango's future footprint in Southern Africa?
Look, normally in festivals abroad, they don't necessarily seek, let's say, diplomatic endorsement. But I think in our case, it gives us that special recognition, that special officiality. We are happening under the umbrella of events here. So they help promote the event, and it makes us feel and look more authentic, and we are. But it gives us that extra exposure, I think, and that extra respectability. And hopefully people recognize that and come out to our events.
Because quickly, for those like myself who's never danced before and maybe feel a little bit imitated, what would you say to encourage us to come?
You know, the other day I was speaking to somebody and he told me in his evasion to join a tango event, he said he has four left feet. But what I, like you mentioned in the beginning, everybody can walk, can do this dance. If you can walk, you can tango. There's no special skill needed. You don't need to be especially athletic. You don't need to have a special musicality. You can learn that over time. Anybody can join this dance.
And do listeners need to buy tickets for some of these initiatives? Is there a website?
Well, firstly, if you are just generally interested in tango in Cape Town, you can go to capetowntango.co.za. You will find different lessons and different events that just go on all throughout the year to begin with. For this particular festival, the website to go to is tangoafricano.net. The main events are for ticketed holders only, but those are mainly the established dancers who are coming. I would really recommend people just check out the website and then join us, especially for the Timeout Market on the 7th of December, that's Sunday, and if they can, also at the Salt Food Market on the 4th of December. And those are free.
Vickers, this really sounds like a spectacular occasion. Good luck, and let's get Cape Town dancing.
Thank you so much.
And remember, if you would like to showcase your event, please send a full media release to Lynette at diary@fmr.co.za.
FMR 101.3 FM.
Get ready, Cape Town. The city is about to light up in the most spectacular way. The Wild Buggers Beach Buggy Club is gearing up for their biggest annual tradition. The Lights for Life run on Saturday, November 29th. Picture it, a dazzling convoy of old school VWs, beach buggies, combis and cars, all classic, decked out in Christmas lights, cruising through the mother city in full festive glow. And here in studio to tell us more about this is president and founder and his wife, Anton and Mickey Klein. Welcome.
Hi there. Thank you for having us here.
Anton, I want to start. Take us back to the beginning. How did the idea of lighting up old school VWs and classic cars for a nighttime convoy first come about?
Actually, it's something that's been popping up all over the world with clubs and stuff. And why not? Let's just give it a go. And then there was a Beetle Club that was doing it as well, but more in the southern suburbs. And then we came together. We tried to do one year together. And then we just took it further from there. We just decided, well, we're not stopping. We're continuing it every year. And it has just grown and grown and grown. And I've added more cars, like all classics, not just VWs anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's grown. And we've added some charity to it as well. And yeah, it's working.
So for listeners who might not know the Wild Buggers yet, how would you describe the spirit and community behind the Beach Buggy Club?
One huge family. We are just all friends together. We learn to know each other. We help one another. If somebody's car, look, it's old car, so if a car breaks, we are there to help. Sourcing parts has become difficult, so we help with that. It's just one big family. We have become friends.
Oh, that's so nice. Now, Mickey, over to you. I want to ask you, the annual Lights for Life run has become a real highlight on Cape Town's festive calendar. What makes this year's edition so special?
I think it's more what we've changed to be promoting for this. It's one of our own. He's got a little baby that's very ill, quite critical actually, 2-month-old baby. So we've asked everybody to donate to him because he unfortunately was retrenched at the same time. So he's sitting with a baby struggling for its life, and he has all these additional expenses. So that's why we are putting everything into this run, because we really want to help Ozzy.
Oh, what a wonderful initiative. Now, for anyone picturing this event for the first time, can you maybe try and paint us a picture of what this glowing procession of Beetles, buggies, combis and classic cars look like on the road?
I get so excited, I'm telling you. First of all, it's such fun setting up our buggies.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have a Christmas tree up at home because the lights are all all over the buggy. And I've been sneaking new lights because we promised we would buy new lights every year. But Anton's going to find out tomorrow how many lights I've actually bought during the year.
On a credit card.
No. But it's so fun because the lights are – I mean, there's one gentleman who has a reindeer with Father Christmas with reindeer and a sleigh and everything on his vehicle. Mm. In the first year, it all fell off and the children were so traumatized. Mm. I shouldn't be laughing. But it was such fun. And he's actually become quite famous.
Yes, Mr. Jason Schaefer's, we're talking about you.
But it's awesome to see what the effort the people put in.
Of course. And just bring joy.
Yeah.
And
the smiles.
And what's nice is when we drive through the roads, people come running at restaurants with their cameras and they take videos of this whole procession coming past. It's just
but it's
awesome.
The smiles on their faces.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And just bringing the festive joy.
Absolute.
Now, you inviting all owners of air-cooled VWs and unique vehicles. What kind of turnouts are you hoping for this year?
Last year, I think we were about 80 vehicles there. Mm. Yeah, last year, we were about 80 vehicles, so let's hope for anything more than 80 will do. Let's hope for 100, 110 vehicles.
Okay. Now, can you maybe walk us through the meetup details at Food Lovers Market in One City and how the convoy gets organized before this 7:30 p.m. rollout?
Well, look, everybody just rocks up and then they start park off and then we start talking and I have like a short little speech for about 5 minutes to say, right, everybody, let's get ready, let's go. And then very, very slowly we move out because the long convoy like that, it's quite a story. And then very slowly we drive out and everybody just follows and there we go.
And you're also going to iconic spots like Camps Bay and Greenpoint.
Yes, we're going to we're going to stop at Greenpoint at the McDonald's, that area there. We'll park off there for at least an hour. That's for people that want to look at the cars, what have you. And then from there, those who still want to continue further, we will then drive further on to Bloberg Strand. And those who want to end there can end there at Greenpoint.
But not everybody needs to go to Bloberg Strand.
No.
Now, Mickey, I want to ask you, is there a specific meaning or purpose behind the Lights for Life name? And what message do you hope the event sends to the community?
initially when we discussed it, we wanted, it was going to be Christmas lights, obviously, but obviously with the various denominations, there's no, not everybody believes in Christmas. So we wanted to keep that spirit going. But the Lights for Life, I couldn't even tell you who suggested it. It's a worldwide thing for helping children and welfare and that type of thing. So that's also what brought it in, the name. And it just evolved to Lights for Life.
Yeah.
And I see some of the other clubs also, they're also sticking to the name. It's just it's a hopeful name.
Mm.
Now, beyond the fun and spectacle, how important are community events like this for keeping classic car culture alive in Cape Town?
Actually, very important. There's not much for us to do anymore besides car shows, and a car show is pretty boring.
Mm.
You go there, you sit there for the whole day, and you must sit and look at your car.
Mm.
That's about it. So giving people actually something to do where you can actually physically drive your car and utilize your car, I think that's very important.
Now, for anyone listening who owns a VW Beetle buggy, combi, but has never joined before, how easy is it for them to take part for the first time?
Very easy. Just rock up.
Just rock up.
Just rock up.
Put your Christmas tree up its lights.
Put it all on the cars, yes.
And come and join us.
Yeah, come and join us. And if you want to stay part of the club for longer or want to do more things, come talk to me on the run. I'll take your name down and then I'll add you to a list and you'll know of everything that's happening.
And finally, can you maybe tell us where can people get more information and who can they contact if they'd like to join the convoy or learn more about the club?
Well, I can give your number. Mm-hmm. Give your number.
It's Mickey. It's 082-497-721.
Can you repeat that?
082-497-721.
Otherwise, they can go to our website, wildbuggers.co.za.
Anton, Mickey, thank you. We all here at FMR wish you only the best of luck and spread the Christmas joy. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much for you. Thank you very, very much.
This is FMR.
Comedy heavyweight Nick Rabinowitz is back. His brand new solo show, Geriatric Millennial, hits the Baxter Concert Hall from 2 to 20 December at 7 p.m. And it's 70-plus minutes of razor-sharp stand-up about life, mayhem, spiritual growth, and the mystery of that one knee that just won't behave. And joining me now to tell us more about this hilarious show is the man himself, Nick Rabinowitz. Welcome, Nick.
Thank you. Yaku.
Yes.
Heavyweight. I resent that. I've actually lost a couple of pounds
it's got
recently.
Nothing to do with your weight. he's skinny, listeners. He's definitely not a heavyweight. Nick, I want to start. What sparked your idea to dive into the world of the geriatric millennial for your 16th solo show?
Yeah. I actually identify as millennial. Yeah.
You identify as millennial, you just told me that you are not a millennial.
I'm not. Mm-hmm. No. I'm geriatric, but I identify as millennial.
Okay, the show promises...
You're a millennial.
I'm a millennial.
When were you born?
1982.
82. Do you know that the category 1980 to 85 is actually what's known as a geriatric millennial? So you, Yako, are in fact... A geriatric millennial.
An uncle, officially.
An worm. Somebody called you worm this week, I believe.
Yes, and I was mortified about that. And it was a 30-odd-year-old who called me that. I know. It's terrible, okay?
No, it's wonderful. Getting older. This is what this show is about. Actually, yes, you might have knee pain or back pain or just pain or emotional pain or spiritual pain. But you're getting older, which means you're dropping into yourself. You have to become someone before you can become no one, Yaku.
Absolutely. Now, the show promises a very brutal, honest look at, I hate this word, midlife.
It's not a crisis. It's a slow, brutal unraveling.
Absolutely. So how would you describe the tone and energy audiences can expect on stage?
A lot of energy. I'm always very energetic, especially if I've had a nap. I haven't had a nap yet today, but this is still the level of energy you're getting.
Now, Nick, you joke about being at the crossroads of spiritual awakening and back pain management. How much of this show is drawn from your real life chaos?
It's all, everything is drawn from my life. You're crossing off questions as you ask them. It's very. Are you A type?
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Everything's got to be chick, 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 chick like this. Yes. And then how are you going to deal with life? Life doesn't present itself as orderly, Yaku. Life presents itself as completely uncertain all over the place. And when people ask, how are you? I say, out of control and you.
Nick.
How out of control do you have to be to control everything around you?
Nick, this is the worm coming out now. That's why I'm ticking off.
Sorry, what was the question?
Now, you also
said... You ticked that question off, but I didn't answer it yet.
You didn't.
What was it? The intersection. What did you ask me?
I asked you, okay, you're at a crossroads of spiritual awakening and back pain management.
Yes.
How much of this is drawn from your real life chaos?
Yeah, all of it. Although that sentence sounds like it was written by ChatGPT.
No, it was not.
Well, I sent it to you, so I would know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I might have said that it summarized.
I read your press release.
Yeah, yeah. Well, who isn't using ChatGPT for their press release?
Yes.
But actually, my back is quite good at the moment. I don't have any back pain right now, and my spiritual growth is also good. My chakras are aligned, mm-hmm. and my third eye is wide open.
Now, Nick, you're known for pushing into the uncomfortable corners of life. What themes or moments in this show do you think hit closest to home for audience members?
Closest to home? Look, there's a few things around midlife crisis for men I think there's some mental health stuff that hit close to home for some people. I talk about my own struggles with mental health and how difficult it is to talk to my toxic, positive, hypermasculine, cisgender, heterosexual male friends when I'm not doing well. Mm. But you have to. What's his name again?
Jordan.
Jordan is. He looks like he's like a hypermasculine, cisgender, heterosexual male.
Yes.
Are you?
He is.
Yeah.
Jordan is smiling.
And then, how do you talk to other men like that when you're feeling down, eh? And you want to be like, no, I'm hundreds. Yeah, but you have to be as Brené Brown. Have you heard of Brené Brown,
yes.
Yaku? Of course. Have you, Jordan? No, you wouldn't have. But she says, be awkward, vulnerable, and brave, Jordan. Okay? And I applied this at a party recently. I ran into a friend from high school, cisgender, heterosexual, toxic, positive, the whole list. He said, how you, my boy? And I was going to say, no, I'm fine. And then Brené Brown whispered in my ear, be awkward, vulnerable, and brave. And I said, you know what? I've been depressed. I've been anxious. I haven't been great. And he said, "But otherwise, you well, eh?"
So he didn't answer your question at all. Now you also still staying on a little bit on the serious note. You also raised some existential questions. You know, midlife crisis or slow unraveling.
What is an existential question?
Well, these are existential questions.
Well, like what? Give me an example of an existential question. To be or not to be, is that an existential question?
Yes, to be or not to be. It's very open-ended.
Right. Okay. Have you ever looked in the mirror, Yaku, as I have, and thought to yourself, somebody said there's a hair transplant doctor you should maybe go and see. They said this to me. Actually, the doctor himself said to me, I don't want to see my favorite comedian balding.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wanted to, actually, from the beginning, I didn't want to be a comedian. I wanted to be a thespian. I wanted to be an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And I always dreamt that the pinnacle of my acting career would be at the Maynardville Theatre for the homeless during COVID. It was for the homeless, but I think it's back. Is it back, Maynardville?
No.
Anyway, I always dreamt of playing Hamlet with a full head of hair. Mm-hmm. Do you ever like wish you had your full head of hair back?
Of course I wish, but I'm embracing the bald.
Well,
I have no choice.
When you get offered a free hair transplant, you think about it, you think twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked in the mirror that night and I thought, what would Hamlet say? to pay or not to pay? That is the question. And then I thought not to pay because I don't want to be a hair transplant influencer.
We don't have a lot of time left. I want to ask you.
You haven't gotten through all your questions.
I don't.
How do you feel about that?
Because you're talking not very good. The worm is not feeling very good. Yes. You're my guest. The out of control guest. Where can listeners buy tickets for your show?
Listeners can buy tickets from me. I've got a little, in the back of my boot. I actually sell them out of the boot, and I'm gonna leave it here outside Artscape for the next hour. And that's it. That's the only way you can get tickets.
Are you being serious?
No.
So where can they buy tickets?
Web tickets.
Nick, this has been the craziest interview that I've had all day. But it's been wonderful having you in studio. Thank you so much. I really wish you all the best. Rock forth.
Thank you, Yaku. And whatever blows your hair back is what I say.
I don't know what's going to blow my hair. All full lovers, get ready. The South African Independent Film Festival is back this December, bigger, bolder, and bursting with imagination. Now, in its eighth year, SAIFF once again transformed Cape Town's Labia Theatre and Johannesburg's Bioscope into the epicentre of Africa's most exciting genre films. From pulse-pounding thrillers to bold sci-fi to horror, fantasy, and groundbreaking indie storytelling, SAIFF 2025 brings together visionary filmmakers from across the continent and the world. It's where creativity meets innovation and where the future of African film takes center stage. And joining me now to tell us more about this incredible festival is Managing Director David Franciscus. Welcome, David.
Hi, Yaku. Thanks for having me.
It's only a pleasure. David, SAIFF is entering its eighth year. What does this milestone represent for you and for the independent film community in South Africa?
Yeah, this is our eighth year and it's going to be a big one. We're focused on social events, networking, bringing filmmakers together. And we've got such an amazing program this year, both from international filmmakers and local filmmakers. Our program is about 50% African films and the other 50% international. A lot of them are traveling down to attend the festival. So we just want to be the place where filmmakers meet, get inspired, connected. You make lifelong friends, collaborators, that sort of thing.
Now, you've often said independent filmmakers are the frontier of storytelling innovation. Can you maybe expand on how SAIFF showcases that innovation this year?
Sure. So independent filmmakers are generally filmmakers that are working within a lot of constraints and they don't have a big budget. They've got to do whatever they need to do to make the film. And so that pushes a lot of creativity. It allows filmmakers to take risks. And so the films that you see are a lot less formulaic than films you would watch on Netflix, for instance. So we've got such a wonderful program of these innovative, exciting, mind-boggling films this year. And it's just a thrill to watch. We've really had the biggest year in terms of submissions, and we've got such a wonderful program.
Now, the festival also spans both Cape Town and Johannesburg again. What excites you most about bringing genre cinema to audiences in these two iconic venues?
I think because there's no other festival that really does it. You know, we've got some of the other larger film festivals in South Africa, like the Durban International Film Festival, Joburg Film Festival. But those film festivals generally focus more on art house films, more character-driven, slow burners, which I love as well. But the way that we differentiate is that our films generally have higher production value. They're more exciting, entertaining to watch. And so that's what we're trying to push. We're trying to push independent genre films, films that look big, but were made on a budget and have a lot of really interesting and engaging choices in them.
And in the film industry, budget is always an issue.
That's right, especially in South Africa.
Especially in South Africa. Now, this year's program feels bigger than ever. What are some of the major additions or expansions that all attendees can look forward to?
So in addition to an amazing film program with some almost all of our films are either world premieres or South African film premieres, and we've got some amazing filmmakers coming from around the world. For instance, we've got Naila Al-Kaja, who's the first female filmmaker from the UAE, and she's coming to present her film in South Africa. It's called Three, a psychological thriller. We've got the world premiere of Thus Spake Zolani, which is a film by Clive Wool, an experimental thriller. Very excited to show that one. And in addition to our amazing film program, we've got all these fantastic panels where we've got filmmakers coming to talk about their craft, talk about their experiences. Those are free to attend, so we want everybody to come and join for those.
I actually want to ask you a question on that note, because this year's jury includes major names like Sif Ngesi. What does having such a high-caliber panel mean for the filmmakers participating?
It just allows us to borrow their extensive experience and knowledge, and their time has been very... We're so grateful for them to take time out of their busy schedules to judge our films. So these personalities just bring a lot of credibility and weight and interesting insights to our program.
Now, the 2025 feature lineup spans continents. What guided your team's selection, and what does this international diversity bring to the festival?
So we aim for a 50-50 split between films from Africa and international films. And we find that that keeps the program quite interesting for our audiences, for cinephiles, for people that love movies. In terms of the films themselves, we look for films that push boundaries and, of course, genre films. So any films that fit into these categories like comedies, actions, horror, these are films that we like to play for our audiences.
Now, David, you've spoken about shifting the geometry of opportunity. What real-world changes have you seen for filmmakers who have showcased their work at SAIFF?
So films that come to our festival, they go on to win awards all around the world. Last year, for instance, we had Diana Mills-Smith, her debut feature, Dinner to Die For, and that had the world premiere at our festival and went on to Fantastic Fest this year, which is one of the biggest genre film festivals in the world, in the States. And she's just enjoyed continued success on that film. But we've seen it again and again with a lot of our shorts and a lot of our directors. SA Indie Film Fest is where filmmakers from South Africa and Africa start and get their work out. And it's really a launch pad for these filmmakers to start their careers.
Now, looking ahead with mentorship programs and regional screenings that are planned for 2026, where do you envision SAIFF heading in the next few years?
So we've actually started this year with a new addition to the schedule, which is a pitching competition. So we invite filmmakers that are trying to get the funds together and support together for their first breakout short. And so this year, we've got a bunch of filmmakers that are coming to pitch their idea, and the winner then gets awarded all of the support and funds that they need to make that short. They get all the guidance and mentorship, and then that short goes on to travel the world. And so we hope to do more of those kinds of events going forward, because I'm quite passionate about building the infrastructure of the South African film industry. I think we need a lot more support, and we need to help where government isn't able to help. So we're taking that responsibility onto ourselves.
Okay. And just very quickly, where can listeners obtain tickets?
So we're on Web Tickets, and the best place to follow our updates and our program is on our Instagram at SA Indie Film Fest. All our tickets are available on Web Tickets. The free tickets and the film tickets are 90 Rand.
David, thank you. It's been lovely chatting to you about this incredible festival. Best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Yaku. I hope to see you there.
Ons het omtrent 'n gepakte program gehad vandag met soveel wonderlike geleenthede wat plaasvind in en om die Kaap. First, we were joined by project manager Melissa Nzuzu telling us more about Playtopia Indie Games and Immersive Arts Festival taking place on the 5th and the 6th of December at the Homecoming. Vikas Engelbrecht shared more with us about the Argentine Tango Festival sizzling in Cape Town this December, taking place on the 5th and the 6th of December at the Pinelands Girl Guides Hall and Sunday the 7th of December at the V&A Waterfront. President and founder of the Wild Buggy Beach Club, Anton and Mickey Klein, enthralled us with a massive convoy of illuminated old school VWs, beach buggies and classic cars that are all covered in Christmas lights, taking place on Saturday, 29 November, where they will be meeting at 7 p.m. and rolling out at 7:30 p.m. from Food Lovers Market in One City. The hilarious comedian Nick Rabinowitz joined us and gave us a sneak peek into his show with Geriatric Millennial taking place from the 2nd to the 20th of December at 7 p.m. at the Baxter Concert Hall. And last but certainly not least, Managing Director David Franciscus told us about the 2025 South African Independent Film Festival, which is a cornerstone of African cinema, highlighting horror, sci-fi, fantasy, thrillers and social genre films taking place respectively from the 5th to the 7th of December at the Labia in Cape Town and the 6th and the 7th of December at the Bioscope in Johannesburg. If you would like your event to be featured on this program, email Lynette at diary@fmr.co.za. Van myself, Jaco Forster, en my ongelooflike klankingenieur Jordan, hier by Fine Music Radio, wens ons julle 'n lieflike Vrydag. FMR.